It's wonderful to have you guys here to celebrate the coming of the new year together as a body of Christ and to be with our Lord in his presence today. And as I mentioned earlier, last week we had the sad news of two of our church members having passed away, Jessica and Heidi. And this has caused me to ponder my own mortality. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 90:12, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." Yesterday morning when I was spending some time with the Lord and doing my devotions, the Lord surprised me and said, "Yardo, I have a new message for you to preach this Sunday, not the one that you prepared." Sometimes the Lord does this. I was kind of like, "Oh, really, Lord? It's Saturday and there's a memorial today that I got to attend and I got to put together another sermon." But when the Lord does that, often it just flows and he gives it. And I just felt that this is a message for us as we enter into 2025, a new year, a new opportunity for love. Because love is so important, the love of God. Without that, we are nothing and we have nothing. Ringing in a new year often brings hope of a better future, and rightfully so. We should be optimistic of the future that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But any thoughtful person cannot approach New Year's Day without some reflection and some introspection, right? We're reminded about the good times, but also we're reminded of the true shortness of life. And the older we get, the more true this becomes. We also look back over our successes, but also our failures, our mistakes, our missed opportunities of the previous year. And we promise ourselves that we'll make better use of our time during the coming year, which is good and honorable. But what does that look like? Where can we make changes for the better? Truly better. Not just these surface level changes, but something deeper and impactful that changes us. Perhaps we should take time to be pleasant, to smile more, to extend those small everyday courtesies we often omit. Just this morning, as I was coming to church, I stopped by the market there to pick up some bread for communion. And there was a homeless guy there at the front door, and he had his box out and asking, and I just kind of walked by him without thinking, going in. But then the Holy Spirit said, "Yarno, what are you doing? There's someone in need, and you're preaching on love this morning." And I had to stop and exchange a few words and help provide for his needs, because that's what the scriptures tell us to do, right? But often we just walk by and don't take these small everyday courtesies that we should show love to one another, even to perfect strangers. Psychiatrists tell us that people are starved for love. So we need to express love more often, beginning with our spouse and family. Take time for the goodbye kiss for your husband or wife. We'll set off for our day's work in a much better mood and a sweeter spirit. We need to take time to get better acquainted with our families and with one another. You know, we're not machines, we're not robots. We're living, breathing human beings. Do you know what the secret of a happy home is? The secret of a happy home is that the members of the family learn to give and to receive love. Almost every night when I lay down in bedding before I go to sleep, if I've not said it, my wife Lisa asks me, "Do you love me?" Almost every night if I don't say it. Well, of course she knows that I love her. But she loves to hear it. People love to know and hear that they are loved. And people are starving for love. We may have failed many times in the previous year to express love and to show love to one another, to our family members, to strangers. But the awesome news is that today is an opportunity for a new beginning. Paul writes in Philippians 3:13, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." See, God's word encourages us not to dwell on the past. Yes, learn from our mistakes, but don't remain in them. Don't wallow in our failure and self-pity, but instead press on to what lies ahead. So this morning I want to encourage us to take time this year to express our love in many ways, perhaps even thousands of ways, to our families at home, to also each other here at church, and the people out in the world. My prayer for you is that you would walk through the days ahead filled with the love of Jesus for others, a love that does not count the cost. Dr. Karl Barth, one of the greatest theologians of his generation, but also a well-known philosopher, a student at one of his seminaries asked Dr. Barth, "Dr. Barth, what is the greatest truth that ever crossed your mind?" All the seminary students leaned forward on the edge of their seat, waiting to hear some great, deep, and profound, complicated answer. But Dr. Barth slowly raised his head and looked at the student and said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." A children's song. So simple. The love of Jesus is amazing. And we should strive to keep the knowledge of Jesus Christ in true simplicity, not to overcomplicate it or encumber it by much learning. Let's not lose the meaning of God's love. Because without it, we have nothing and we are nothing. Just listen to what 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3 says. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." The things listed here are amazing things to have, to possess. Some of these things are like superpowers. To be able to speak all the tongues of men and even angels. To have prophetic powers. To understand all mysteries. To have all knowledge. To be all-knowing. To have such strong faith that you could even erase mountains from existence. And worldly way of thinking. To consider to having one of these things would be amazing. But God's word turns it on its head. Without love, it would be nothing. You would be nothing. If we're able to be so obedient to God's command and give away all that we have to the poor, or even sacrifice ourselves for the testimony of our faith, without love, it would be nothing. We would gain nothing. Why? Why is love so important? Because love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. 1 Corinthians 13:13. "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Love is the greatest. The law of Jesus Christ is a law of love. It is why God sent his Son Jesus Christ to save us. It is why Jesus Christ willingly walked the road to Calvary and was nailed to a cross. It is why Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and I. Love. Love. Jesus paid the fine for your sins. It cost him his life. He shed his precious blood. He did it so that you can be pardoned for your wrongdoing and be forgiven. And the Bible says that all who repent of their sins and turn in faith to Jesus Christ will be forgiven and be set free and receive eternal life. Love. And it's all because he loves you. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And that is exactly what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate, did for you and I. He laid down his life out of love. Love is the greatest. As we peer into the face of the new year, it can also be scary. We can easily be overcome with fear. The fear of what could possibly happen. And that is perfectly understandable when we look at the situation the world is in today. What is happening around the globe. And today people are living in the bondage of fear. Many psychiatrists say that their patients are facing the problem of fear. The fear of losing all that they have worked for. Fear of not having enough. Fear of committing suicide. Fear of being alone. Fear of heart disease. Fear of cancer. Fear of disaster striking. And of course the fear of death. And we're quickly becoming a people who are full of fear, a nation of fearful people. But down the centuries, in times of trouble, trial, temptation, and crisis, God has brought courage and hope to the hearts of those who love him. The Bible is filled with accounts where God has brought assurance of his help and comfort in every kind of trouble which might cause fear to arise in the human heart. And today as Christians, we can come to the Word of God with full assurance that God is going to deliver the person who puts their trust in the Lord. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We can look into the future with promise and hope and joy without fear because we are assured by his consuming love for us. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." Perfect love. Perfect love. What is perfect love? The question really is, who is perfect love? The Bible says God is love. And the perfect love is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And to be perfected in love is to be in Christ and to have Christ in you. And this perfect love casts out fear. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 to 7 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So this year, let's not let fear dictate our steps. Let's not let fear overcome us and impact our choices. This year, let's not let fear paralyze us, our family, and our church. But let's fan into flame the gift of God, one of which is love. And let's walk in the perfect love of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and walk with confidence and faith that He who loves us is for us. Jesus is our light, our salvation. Whom or what shall I fear? The assurance of His love stills the fears of our hearts. Amen? And third, love one another. The first essential for either a happy Christian home or a happy church home is that love must be practiced. Love must be practiced. Homes that are built on anything else besides love are destined to crumble. Love is the cohesive force that holds it all together. The love of God is what unites us and holds us together. It embodies loyalty, reverence, and understanding. It allows us to forgive one another. Love places a tremendous responsibility on all members of the family. But it is accompanied by a wonderful reward as well. Every member of the family and church family must carry the responsibility to love each other. In fact, Jesus commands it. God's word commands us to. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And how did Christ love the church? He loved it despite its faults, its mistakes, its weaknesses. As 1 Corinthians 3:18 states, love never fails. It loves despite personality defects, despite physical imperfections. It loves despite mental quirks. It loves despite our faults and failures. Love is deep, abiding, and eternal. And that is how we ought to love one another, as Christ loved us. A selfless love. Nothing can bring a sense of security and belonging into a home as true love can. And this is true in the church family as well. And this is how we must continue to love one another. Going into this new year, this is the most foundational, important thing that we do as a church and practice is loving one another. That is how we must move forward. How Jesus taught us to love each other. And this is to fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. Matthew 22:37-39 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love. Imagine what the world would look like if everyone lived in obedience to Christ's commandments. Imagine, it'd be a totally different place. And that is what the kingdom of heaven looks like, guys. And we can be a window into God's kingdom to the people in this world through the obedience of this commandment. People can get a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven through the love that we show to one another. Jesus says in the word that's how we will be recognized as belonging to Him, by the love that we have for one another. You see, the love of Jesus equips us to reflect the love in our relationships with others, fostering unity, forgiveness, and compassion, even in the face of personal struggles and societal challenges. Jesus' love is not only a sacrificial love demonstrated on the cross, but also a personal love that communicates value and purpose to every person and individual. The unparalleled love of Jesus invites us to embrace our identity in Him, transforming how we love others and ourselves in a broken world. It's because He loved us first and gave His life for us. And that is what we are reminded today as we come to the Lord's table, to communion, as we celebrate what the Lord has done for each and every one of us through the work of the cross. Can I invite Jim and Zach to come help distribute communion? First Corinthians 11:23-26 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before your table this morning together as your children, as your people, as your family, as your sons and daughters, and proclaim that there is forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you have bore our sins upon the cross by your body where it was broken. Lord, you suffered in our place. You paid the price of our sins. And Lord, we confess our sins before you this morning. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for our sin. We have broken your law. We have broken your commandments. And your word says even if we break one commandment, we have broken the whole law. So Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, we receive your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you have washed our sins away by your blood that you shed upon the cross, and that we are washed pure as snow. And Lord, we separate this bread and this cup as your blood, as your body. And we do this in obedience to what you have commanded us to do. And Lord, we look forward to the day that you will come back to take us home into your kingdom, where you have prepared a place for every one of us who confess faith in you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.